The issue that you've got is all the expectation is on women,
Yeah.
right? All the expectation is on women to show up, women to get the senior roles, women to do that whilst having kids and all the rest of it. It's not possible for women to take on all of those things if you don't share the load somewhere, right? There's got to be a bit of give. And I think right now, the way that policy is structured, it's still all on the woman.
It is.
Because yeah, sure, you can say, oh, I'm trying to hire more women, or I'm trying to put these things in place to attract more women. But if it's still women that are having to make all those compromises, and there is no opportunity for men to take the
Agree.
load, which I know for a fact is something that so many men want to be more involved in and want to do, but are kind of shackled by the situation in their company or where they're working.
Thank you for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. I'm your host, Leisha Holmes, and I am so proud of what we have achieved as a community since we launched the podcast in the summer of 2020. You're listening to this show because you decided you want to invest whatever time this podcast show takes from your day to actually improve your life, to hopefully create joy, and hopefully to also learn something. We're grateful for every single member of this community. We've never professed that we want to be the biggest podcast that you listen to, but we want to be the best. And by doing so, we're inviting in, we think, the greatest experts in their field to come and share with you, our listener, their experiences, their lessons, their learns, their mistakes, and most importantly, what they'd like to share with you, so that you hopefully can improve what you do and what you achieve. We are so grateful to you for listening and for sharing and for commenting and for continuing to come back week after week. And without you, we wouldn't have the community that we do. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening and for contributing to what is a very special community. We hope to bring you more live shows as we continue to grow our global community. But obviously, our promise to you is that every week you'll drop in and hopefully have a new guest to listen to that will give you something to contribute to your self-improvement and to your high performance. We can't do this without our amazing sponsor, Pager, for whom we are so grateful. And we also have some incredible partners, Needy, Diversity in Recruitment, and Keybridge IT Solutions. Links to all of our sponsors and partners are in the show notes. Please remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when contacting any of them independently, because I'm sure they'll all be happy to offer you a cheeky discount because you've come from such a loyal client base. So without further ado, a few messages from the sponsor and partners, and then let's get to know this week's guest. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes. And for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link pager.co to book your demo, and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode.
We are truly global in this week's episode, where I am so excited for you to get to know a formidable, inspiring, passionate, successful, incredible leader who has absolutely shown innovation and creativity in how she has transformed what we are talking about when it comes to diversity and inclusivity in our industry and beyond. This is Helen Maguire. She's a fellow podcast host. She's an ex-DJ. She's a board advisor. And she is a very successful and very rare exited co-founder and CEO of a recruitment-led business. We talk about diversity, equity and inclusivity and what that actually means to you listening. How can we as recruiters do better for our own industry and then to educate the employers out there? What has she done in terms of exiting? How did she manage to successfully scale and do that within her own business? Because I think she's an absolute unicorn coming on our show. And we just talk human stuff. We talk about what it's like to actually be a working parent and what we can all do now. There's some amazing takeaways, but there's one action that each and every listener can take away from this week's show. So without further ado, let's jump. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And I am really excited to welcome to our global community today somebody who apparently officially cannot be put into a box when it comes to her incredible achievements. And the host has turned guest, actually, for once. She's somebody who's also runs her own podcast, and I cannot wait for us to explore and expand on a number of really important topics today. And you're actually joining us for a global guest who's not based in the UK, based over in sunny Dubai, I think. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Helen Maguire, who is a board advisor and coach, a fellow podcast host, like I say, ex-DJ and exited co-founder and CEO. That sounds painful, an exited CEO. Welcome to you today, Helen. How are you?
I'm really well. Thank you for that epic introduction. I'm struggling to know how I'm going to live up to that, to be honest. But yeah, it's lovely to be here.
I was just stealing what apparently somebody said about you. How do we put you in a box? The DJ bit. Why are you an ex-DJ? Why are we not, you know, still doing that?
That feels like a past life. It was a past life. I'm actually due in Ibiza next week for one of my very old friends. I shouldn't say that. It's his 50th. I don't mean old in that sense. One of my oldest friends in terms of, like, I've known him for over half my life. It's his birthday next week. So I'm kind of dipping back into that world briefly. But yeah, I mean, I did the whole music industry thing to death through my time in radio at the BBC and various other outlets in the music industry over a period of probably about 12, 13 years. And yeah, DJing was part of that. Having a podcast was part of that. Presenting was part of that. And I loved it. Like, don't get me wrong, that was my absolute tick kind of thing, like done. But I kind of grew out of it. I kind of grew out of it. And I think it's, you know, it when a dream turns into a reality and all of the reality comes along with that, it's not something that's super sustainable. I think particularly as a woman, to be perfectly honest, for me anyway, I knew I didn't want that lifestyle whilst bringing up a family. I knew the traveling wouldn't work for me. I knew the hours wouldn't work for me. That just is how I'm wired. I've since seen many successful women DJs kind of manage that or go through that process. So yeah, it's very firmly ex-DJ, but I never kind of, who knows, you know, one day I might dust off the decks and
as your children get older, you never know. You're never too old.
No, exactly. Who knows, right? I never say never. Yeah. That's where that bit comes from.
I absolutely love it. And then talk to us about your, I guess, business and corporate experience, because there's not many.
Yeah.
We're now in season five. I can't think of many women leaders that I've had on who have successfully grown, scaled and exited a business in the way you have. So just talk, give us a potted history of how that happened.
So I kind of moved from my music BBC career into more of a commercial communications career very deliberately, because I wanted something a bit more grown up, let's say. And I wanted just to explore different parts of sort of what I was able to do and achieve. And I kind of flipped what I was doing for audiences into doing content, digital content, producing content in different ways for brands. And that was, that didn't really exist in Dubai. We moved out to Dubai about 12 years ago now. And that kind of approach to content meshed with brands didn't exist in this region. And I knew I could kind of explore that and grow that here. So I started doing that. And then when I had my first baby in 2014, end of 2014, I had always had a sort of, an underlying urge to do my own thing, to start my own business. My dad's an entrepreneur. My husband's an entrepreneur. I come from quite an entrepreneurial background and family. It just kind of suited my personality in many respects, my values, my headspace. I always knew that was something I wanted to try. And the opportunity came along at that point, weirdly, while I was on maternity leave. And I just came into contact with so many amazing women who either were who were their husbands and their kids were at school, or perhaps they just had kids themselves and were stuck, you know, were unable to rejoin the workforce because the workforce at that point here was not thinking in a very progressive way, let's say. It was very kind of stuck in the past. There was no flexibility. There was no thought around maternity leave or policies to support women. And so there were huge issues around gender gaps and huge issues around trying to close those gaps from a government perspective, but nothing on the ground that was being done. Okay. And I remember just thinking, you know, I've got a job to go back to, but what if I didn't? You know, what if I was in that situation and I was just doing things for the sake of it because I was trying to fill my time? It's just, it's heartbreaking when you listen to people's stories who've got 10, 20 years of amazing experience and suddenly, you know, their lives have sort of shrunk, if you like, at least in their lives.
To shrink, to adapt so that they can not have the compromise of either. Yeah. So yeah, that is the real.
Yeah. Mm. And I just thought there's got to be a way of closing this gap between actually what businesses need to do, which is to attract more women to them, and what the government's trying to do here in the UAE at that point. And what, you know, this amazing talent pool of women that's just kind of stuck and not able to move, it seems. So I started my first business, which was Hopscotch. That was a women's careers platform, first in the region. It grew really quickly. We grew to kind of like 20,000 women and 80,000 followers, and worked with UN Women and Facebook and Amazon and God knows whatever else. You know, we really sort of broke some ground there over the period of about 4 years. I expanded that into Asia. But I quickly realized that I was only scratching the surface, because actually the biases that were affecting women and the lack of thought, the lack of policy, the lack of strategy, the lack of forward-thinking approaches also affected all other underrepresented minorities in the workforce, whether you're, depending on where you are in the world, but whether you're talking about disability, whether you're talking about race and ethnicity, whether you're talking about age, all the other diversity characteristics you can think of. And I wanted to create something that really got to the heart of that problem. And to me, that was always going to be working probably with recruiters, because you guys were on the front line of making these connections and sometimes making these sourcing decisions and whatever, working with hiring managers and obviously people within HR and bigger corporates and so on, and giving them some tools and some tech that took the bias out of those processes. So that as human beings, we're not kind of going, ah, I'm looking at a name, or I'm looking at a picture, or I'm looking at a school and making an assumption. Yeah. We're going, okay, we've had X amount of applicants, and these are the best ones because they're the best fit for the role. And we're not making a decision based on silly criteria that just doesn't need to come into the picture. And that was the you know, the impetus really behind Diversely, which was my second business. And Hopscotch flipped really into Diversely. I was joined by my co-founder, Hayley, who was very much on the kind of tech side, the finance side. I do not have that background, so I knew I wasn't able to sort of do that in any way, shape, or form on my own. I had tried, and it was just kind of, no, this is just not my world. But I knew I could do the commercial side of it and the comm side of it and build the brand and get it out there. And we built that over, you know, with investment of just over $500,000 US, with about 18 different angel investors, with a lot of help, a lot of accelerators, a lot of mentorship, a lot of nervous breakdowns, you know, the kind of the whole thing over the course of about 3.5-4 years, and exited that officially this year. So that's kind of, yeah, as you say, the potted history of my time, I suppose, in recruitment. I now work with the Access Group, which is the business that bought my business. That tech is now bedded into Access Volcanic, which I'm sure lots of your listeners will know about, and Cherry. Yeah. And it's now being used by thousands of recruiters globally. So again, it's just kind of, I feel like I've can close the chapter, at least on that part of it. And I'm still advising in the DEI space with bigger businesses and with Access Group as well. Now also helping founders to move their businesses forward and hopefully get into a successful position themselves. It's been a bit of a crazy ride.
It's been a very crazy ride. And I'm sure one that if you'd have turned the clock back 15 years ago, you never would have predicted it. But now, instead of impacting just one person, you've impacted literally tens of thousands of people, especially through the acquisition of Access Group. Like you say, plenty of our listeners use their technology every single day. So from a listener perspective, our audience is largely recruitment leaders and business owners, but also recruiters starting out their career. And, you know, I think that the DEI conversation continues right across the world, not specifically with the UK, which I know is where you kind of started your business, but certainly over here in the United Kingdom. I've had plenty of guests on from America, for example, and Australia. So it's literally a global issue.
Yeah.
We don't still truly understand how to attract for our own industry. I was talking to you about this before we started recording, that as an industry ourselves, you know, we're a multi-billion-dollar sector as a recruitment industry, and we still seem to challenge ourselves on understanding what diversity means for us. You know, I'm a provider, I'm a service, I'm Rector X, so I'm servicing the industry, and I still get, you know, well, we really need a girl, or, you know, we really need somebody who's got 10 years experience, which basically cancels out anybody that hasn't. And it's, you know, it's the language that we're using that we're detrimental to our own industry. And like you said earlier on in your amazing summary, we are supposed to be the ultimate educators when it comes to diversity and inclusion. So I guess there's two parts to this answer. To the recruitment leaders listening, because they're the ones that have the power through investing in the right tech or that culture, what would you say is the starting point if that they kind of go, oh, hang on, I've just done that recently, I've rejected something based on they haven't got a degree from a red brick university example. So what would your advice be to the recruitment leaders, and then the part B will be to a recruiter that's maybe trying to challenge that and is difficult to be heard? We are so proud to be partners of Needy, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose Needy. Needy source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. Now, back to the episode.
Yeah, look, I think I'm always very honest about the situation around DEI, and we'll always try and be super transparent about this. There feels to me, and I think to lots of other people in the industry as well, that there's a huge amount of kind of misunderstanding around the words diversity, equity, and inclusion. Lots of people don't really understand the true meaning of what that is. And therefore, there's an assumption and certainly a kind of politicization around it, whereby, oh, this is just excluding people. You're just trying to exclude your sort of classic candidate, let's say, in favor of somebody else. And there is this discrimination towards someone who is, you know, from an underrepresented group. That is not the point of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And actually, I've gone so far, and I've talked about it on LinkedIn. I talk to anyone in the DEI industry, and specifically within the Access Group, within the businesses that are now using the tech that we're using, to think about it much more from the perspective of inclusive hiring and inclusive recruitment. Yeah. Because the idea is that actually you are opening the doors as wide as you possibly can to as many people from as many backgrounds, so that your ideal candidate gets the opportunity to walk through the door.
Yeah.
And if you're starting to think of it from a more narrow perspective of, let's say, language, that's a really good example. The first tool that we created within Diversely was the Bias Analyzer.
Yeah.
The Bias Analyzer is a tool that literally looks at a job description or a job ad, or any other copy that you want to use, let's say in an email or on LinkedIn, and will give you a score around its structure and its language in terms of the biases and the non-inclusive language that's being used there, and will help you to address that. And this is all scientifically backed. It's run with AI. We built it with the University of Nottingham in the UK, based on years and years of research, actually through UK government funded programs. Yeah. And that's an amazing place to start, because your job ad is your advert to not just the role itself, but to you as a recruiter, to your agency, to Correct. The client.
Yeah.
And if you're not putting that across in an inclusive way, then you're probably discouraging, even at that very first hurdle, so many applicants that could be really good. And your point around the 10-year thing, or looking for more women, I mean, there's an element of that that certainly under the UK law is not advisable. Exactly. Positive discrimination is you know, illegal in the UK, let's just say that. But equally, the 10-year thing doesn't mean anything to anyone. I could have been doing something for 10 years, but doing it really badly, you know, and just kind of treading water and not actually making any progress and not bringing any money or whatever it may be. It's not about that. It's about kind of what you're able to achieve and looking at someone's skills, someone's experience, someone's qualifications, and making sure that that is matching. So the job ad is really the first place that I would start from a recruitment point of view. And that at least is going to allow you to, you know, broaden that scope and to help you to hopefully find the best person for that role.
Yeah, definitely. And then that would apply then to I guess, the recruiters listening who are maybe finding it frustrating in the companies that they're working for that seem to have this, you know, lazy. It's just lazy. We've always
done it.
These are the people that we've always played. That's the client. We've placed for that client for years. They've always looked for the same developer. They've always looked for the same property.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And it's about you standing up and saying, well, just because it's always been done that way doesn't mean we continue that way.
I agree with that. I think in practice, that's probably really challenging. If you're in a recruitment agency, and as you say, that's not the way things are looked at or the way things have been done. I know we were talking about Jo Major earlier, and she is, you know, brilliant at this because she has been on the front line herself and kind of had to challenge this. But what I would say also is that it's very, very difficult to trip human bias. Because everybody comes to the workplace or to their, you know, usual daily interactions with it. I've been working in the space for 10 years. I still do it all the time. I was actually talking to my mindfulness coach literally just before this about some of those biases that come into play when I'm having like interactions or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's a natural human thing. And I think one thing that I would say really massively helps get around that is anonymizing profiles and CVs. And it's one of the reasons why I have such a sort of love-hate relationship with LinkedIn, because it is so useful as a networking tool, as a business building tool, obviously to find a job, all the rest of it. But equally, just by having a profile up there, you're introducing so much bias.
But the way you look, your education, where you live.
Yeah.
I don't agree. I mean, just the human bias, I mean, that is what makes us, you know, psychologically, that makes us feel safe. It's what we've always had. But as recruiters, as employers, as hirers, we are only ever going to have the same pool of people. And in talent short markets, as our industry is going to get more and more squeezed because AI is going to replace a lot of what we do, I think it's more important than ever for recruiters to be having this level of conversation to challenge our clients, our paying clients, as to why those things are important. Because actually, by it's not just taking the front line of human bias, you know, we all naturally have that. It's saying you're not going to be able to find somebody who's got 10 years in that particular finance field that's going to move for the same salary as where they are now. It's just logical as a recruiter to challenge it anyway. So I think
I completely agree. And I think trying to do that yourself is very challenging. I think using tech, again, going back to diversity, that's exactly why we have the anonymizer in place, to get rid of that bias. But then you have a really good test, don't you? You've kind of got a load of anonymized CVs. You've got the people that you know have risen to the top in terms of the skills matching, in terms of the background matching. You're sending that on to your client without all the names, without all the other stuff. They're making decisions. And then at some point, you've got to reveal who these people are. And it's just a very interesting test to see, would I have traditionally put that person forward? Or, dear client, would you have traditionally picked that person? But hey, look, here's where we are. And this is actually the person that's best fit for the job. And I think if you can get to that point, whether it's using tech or even just from a basic perspective, getting somebody else to anonymize those CVs for you before you see them, it's a really good test and a really good proof point around why bias is so detrimental to recruiters from a business point of view. You know, your job is to find that person that's going to get you that fee at the end of it, right? Like, it's to provide best service for a client. And I think any way that you can do that or have some competitive edge around it in terms of building talent pools, putting the best people forward, it's certainly a good trial and error, you know, a good place to start, let's put it that way.
I agree with you totally. Just kind of segueing back to where you sort of giving your summary about the DJing, and you reach that point that a lot of our female listeners listening will really, and, you know, I saw it myself with my own career, you make a choice on the trajectory that we are now on, and with using technology such as your product, and you know, having an understanding as an education and as being as educators, where are we heading in terms of reducing gender gaps, reducing that level of bias when it comes to forecasting? Like, you've got children, I've got children.
So
if you were to have that conversation with your children about, you know, fast forward to their careers in 20 years, are they going to have to make the same choices, or do you think that naturally there will be an acclimatization, I suppose, because of where I just think we're at such a pivotal moment in the evolution of our industry, but also as a species because of AI and technology.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you, I mean, I'm not asking you to get your crystal ball out. Are we on the right trajectory is what I'm saying. And what advice would you give to your children when it comes to, you know, I guess cascading that for future talent pools? You know, are they having these conversations now in their education?
Here at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, we are passionate about creating a psychologically safe community where everybody feels that they belong. By doing so, we are truly being diverse, equitable, and inclusive in every guest that we bring on, which is why we are so proud of our beautiful partner, Diversity in Recruitment. Diversity in Recruitment help recruitment businesses understand diversity, equity, and inclusion in a way that makes sense. Their training and advisory work is designed and delivered by experienced recruitment professionals, giving your teams the insight, the tools, and the confidence to attract diverse talent, to recruit inclusively, to improve your candidate journey, and confidently partner with your clients. DE&I doesn't have to be complicated and scary. It's simply about fair, ethical, and high-quality recruitment, something that we are so passionate about, the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And thank you for listening to this message.
I mean, look, it's always a tricky one to call, because the gender pay gap does not seem to be closing. In some countries, I mean, it's only just started to be tracked or reported on. But taking a step back, I suppose, from that and looking back over the last 5 to 10 years, the landscape has changed massively. Tech has changed massively, just even in the last 12 months. I think that there is huge capacity for positive movement forward, where things like biases, things like diversity, things like inclusion, things like the way in which people work and some of the things that they struggle with, where AI is concerned. And actually, one of my keynotes is around the intersection between DEI and AI and where some of those watch outs are, but equally where the massive benefits can lie. And that really sits around bias. So correct use of correct tools can make a huge difference to those types of outcomes. And then on the more human side of things, I was reading today, Deloitte in the UK have just announced equal maternity and paternity leave for their staff. Things like that, that are more environmental, that are more structural and procedural, are the things that will shift the needle. Because the issue that you've got is all the expectation is on women.
Yeah.
Right. All the expectation is on women to show up, women to get the senior roles, women to do that whilst having kids and all the rest of it. It's not possible for women to take on all of those things if you don't share the load somewhere, right? There's got to be a bit of give. And I think right now, the way that policy is structured in the UK, in the US, certainly here in the Middle East, it's still all on the woman. Because yeah, sure, you can say, oh, I'm trying to hire more women, or I'm trying to put these things in place to attract more women. But if it's still women that are having to make all those compromises, and there is no opportunity for men to take the load, which I know for a fact is something that so many men want to be more involved in and want to do, but are kind of shackled by the situation in their company or where they're working, then nothing's going to change.
It's societal, Helen. And, you know, we talk about equitability and it does work both ways. And that's
massively. So it has to.
It has to. Because otherwise,
it's just kind of, you know, look at it a different way. And it's just kind of, okay, well, we're going to keep all the men in the roles, but we're equally going to force them to look after the kids and make sure that their wives are not available for any of that stuff. You know, just look how quickly that might crumble. And when you look at some Nordic countries actually provide, I think, a really, really good proof point around this. Countries like Sweden, for example, I think it's Finland as well, have amazing maternity and paternity policies, kind of equal policies. And the return to work rate of those in those countries for women is about 80%.
Goodness,
whereas you look at it in other places, and it either doesn't happen or it drops off a cliff pretty quickly. And I think this is where, you know, it takes a village, right? And you just can't be solely responsible for doing a massive full-time job whilst also having all of the responsibility of kids and house and all the rest of it in the background. There's just not the time in the day. I mean, it just doesn't work.
We're opening a Pandora's box, because without the underpinning childcare capability, which I know is a massive conversation going on in the UK specifically at the moment, which we probably haven't got time, and I don't have the level of detail on that, but I think
that's the figures.
Everybody's going to be shouting at the screen or listening when they're listening to the podcast back. It'll be about that. But I think in answering the question, what you're saying is we're on the right track. In some countries, they're at the starting blocks.
Yeah,
I like to think that, you know, we're on at least on a precipice where, using the data, using, you know, the AI capability to, you know, remove bias, but also put in place, you know, taking the examples of Deloitte, I haven't seen that yet. That's lots of conversations that you, as a recruitment leader listening now, these are the sorts of conversations you need to be having with your head of people, you know, whether it's your business or if you're part of a corporate business. Those are the conversations. Go and knock on the door. What's the paternity benefits? What are the maternity benefits? Because actually, it's very rarely discussed. And it's almost still seen in our industry as, well, why are you asking that? You know, why is that important? Does that mean you're going to go and have a baby? And it's ludicrous, because we're a human species. Yeah. It's how we function. So I feel like we've got about 20 different conversations.
And this is the thing, you know, when you're trying to solve this problem in inverted commas, you've just got to start in one place. And this is why I started at the very beginning, understanding the matter of removing the bias at its source as far as you possibly can, and to give people the best opportunity to get the jobs that they deserve. And that starts with, again, starts with you guys just having the right tools. Because you can't know everything. And even if you go through unconscious bias training or any of those types of things, it's very difficult to remember that sometimes in the moment. So having the kind of, you know, the AI influence to not make those decisions for you, but certainly to remove some of those distractions, let's say, from the process, so that you can make come to the best decision yourself, is it just saves so much time and so much kind of emotional effort and so many problems when the wrong person gets the job and doesn't last more than 2 weeks in it.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different, you know, attrition and recruitment. I think I've got a takeaway from this, which I always think when you listen to a podcast, if you can learn one major thing, and for me, it's anyone listening, it's removing our own bias and thinking. I love it when it's an illustration or it's something that I can visualize. That open door, we're opening our doors ourselves when we're hiring for ourselves. If we can just all think that today, when we're either interviewing for ourselves or partnering with a client, I think even that ripple effect will be enormous. So I can't thank you enough, because I know we could talk for another 3 hours.
You really could, yeah.
The fact that your three children, who I'm presuming Justin is, because Justin, your husband, I must, if anybody's interested in listening to Justin, he was in season 4. Possibly back at that back end of 2023, and that was a phenomenal episode. Really enjoyed that. You're a power couple, you're amazing. But you know, we did talk around this in his topic as well a little bit. We touched on it, so thank you so much, because I know
how you.
We can't wait for your podcast to relaunch. Is that, have you got any
podcasts
time soon?
Is that that's more for parent founders, so actually talking again to that. Yeah, it's for founders who have also got a lot of SHIIT going on as well, because I know how that is and you know how that is, and that's a whole different approach, right?
Oh, that is going to be absolutely phenomenal. It's funny, sometimes I find that these sessions with leaders tend to become off camera when we finished or before we start, a bit therapeutic. Very often, you know, we all have got lives that, well, we all have got lives very often. It is another parent I'm talking to, and I've often thought to myself, if I had the time, I would absolutely set up a second podcast where we just talk about what it's actually like,
and just some coping strategies around it, and you know how you just even managing that. And it changes all the time, right? Because the kids get older, so the situation changes. So it's something that's a constant.
You think.
I'm hoping I learned something as well.
Yeah, you think as you get to each stage, you've done it, and you're like, wow, this will get easier, and it's not. It's just. And then, I'm going to go to secondary school, and then, this happened, and then they're going to move out of home, and they're going to stop worrying. So
No, it's a good point. I haven't even got there yet.
No, we'll definitely take this off camera, and we'll all. Helen, you have been, as I knew you would, you have been delightful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And let's catch up soon.
Definitely.
As a listener of the Recruiters Recruitment podcast, you'll know from some of the guests that I have that really I'm not a very technically minded person. And for that reason, it's really important as a recruiter in my day job to have the best technical support. And who better than our very proud partner, KeyBridge IT Solutions. They provide 24/7 support to all their customers. And given that I'm probably the most technophobe of all the people that you could be talking to right now, trust me when I say they are phenomenal at what they do. They've been established since 2010, and they provide a fully managed IT support and solutions provision with specialities including Microsoft's cloud, Office 365, Microsoft 365, Microsoft Azure, internet connectivity. I don't even know what I'm saying, basically, but basically they really help you. They work across every industry, not just recruitment. So if you're listening to this outside recruitment, they could help you too. Marketing, finance, leisure, charity. But basically what I'm trying to say is, if as a business owner, you need full 24/7 IT support and solutions, KeyBridge IT Solutions are the ones for you. Thank you so much for listening to this message.